There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. Also a pastor, but the reason we broadcast from my basement in Elbert County, Colorado, we're fathers, and looking at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview, and also trying to cast a vision for our children for the next generation or so. And folks, more and more we live in a naturalistic, materialistic age. Wrong worldview. The wrong worldview is everywhere, and more atheism is taken over. And Dave, I think it is an important weekend coming out of this last weekend, because The Golden Compass was the atheist film, and they raked in some $76 million in the box office. This was the number one hit for this last weekend, a significant weekend for atheism, my friends. And yet, Dave, it's amazing. This movie was trashed by the reviewers. Our Denver Post or Rocky Mountain News called it off course. This Golden Compass is off course. They gave it a C-minus rating, which is one of the worst ratings you can give a movie, at least here. And what did they call it on the front cover? It was cold and too complicated. Cold and too complicated. So kind of lost the folks and did not warm the audiences. Dave, you know, it's hard to make atheism warm. I mean, you know, hi, we're godless atheists, and when you die, you turn into, well, dust, and you really never live happily ever after. It doesn't really happen. Sorry, this is all there is, and there really is no meaning to life because God doesn't exist. There are no transcendence. There's no ultimate at all. And by the way, there is no such thing as ethics. Hard to make that message nice and warm and cozy on a winter's evening.
Well, let's think about this. We have a child's movie, a part of a trilogy, and Pullman, we know from his books and from interviews what the trilogy is about. It's about killing God.
Yeah.
Oh, a nice child's story about killing God. Isn't that sweet?
Yes. I'm already feeling the warmth of it. Somebody get me some hot chocolate. And it just doesn't work for me.
It's not chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And all these people walk around, they have these little animals, like part of their personality on the outside. They call them demons, by the way.
Demons, yeah. This is my demon. You know, this is my demon here. Nice, sweet, warm story about me and my demon.
Get the hot chocolate, yeah.
This is
cozy.
Then let's go kill God, you know, and then we'll all live happily ever after. Well, actually, there's no such thing as eternity, and we all turn into dust, and that's basically all there is to life. Just hard to make that warm.
It is, and in the movie has, and the stories have some real interesting issues. For instance, it's called The Golden Compass, because this compass, this pocket watch-looking thing, is the only thing that can tell absolute truth. I find that ironic. How do you know that the compass is the only thing that tells truth?
Well, the compass just kind of spins around randomly, and, you know, you wind up wherever you want to wind up. So, Dave, you know, yeah, ethics is completely random in the universe on pure chance. That's just, it's silliness. It's ultimately kind of a silly movie. And, Dave, you know, he named the trilogy his Dark Materials. Now, you know, even that doesn't feel warm enough for me, you know. This is a very dark story about dark materials, and it's just about as evil as you can get. So I don't know, warm your audience up with that, huh?
And we should point out that the dark materials is this dust, which is original sin, which, according to Pullman and his stories, the original sin was actually good. It was a rebellion against an evil God.
Yeah, exactly. So sin was good, demons are good, witches are good, and the church is a mind-controlling, murderous, evil thing. Dave, I think what we've got is everything upside down in this movie. Evil and good are turned on its head, and the authority, Dave, they call it the authority, it's the God in the movie, he's a weak idiot. He's just a weak idiot. At the end of The Amber Spyglass, which, by the way, is the third book in the trilogy, the authority is killed when exposed to a gust of wind. I mean, so, you know, not as omnipotent as we had all hoped him to be.
Yeah, certainly not very sovereign. I find there's some humor in here. The most nefarious creature here is called Mrs. Coulter. Apparently, they didn't want to call her Ann Coulter, the columnist, but they wanted to get as close as they could. They had Ann Coulter, a blonde, tall woman, like Ann, play the part.
And the Pope of the Church
John Calvin, which I think is really interesting, Dave. John Calvin, of course, being ultimately probably the most biblical Christian that's lived in the last 500 years, and the influence behind the Pilgrims and Puritans that founded this nation, and of course the influence behind John Knox and the Presbyterians and the Scottish Covenanters that came over here. So effectively, Dave, I mean, our nation had such a commitment to John Calvin at the beginning that there's probably no other man that had more of an influence on this country. And yet, it's amazing how people hate our country. You know, they hate America. They hate the fact that we had such a hardcore biblical Christianity at the beginning with guys like John Calvin and John Knox, that they would name the absolute worst evil man in their movies, John Calvin. I mean, just that antipathy towards anything that's Christian, anything that's American, anything that's good comes out in movies like The Golden Compass.
And I think what you see here is what's quite obvious is Pullman is not an atheist. He claims to be an atheist, but if he was an atheist and God didn't exist, he wouldn't bother writing stories about God. No, he has to hate God. He has to kill God. He has to do everything he can to oppose God because he knows that God exists. That's the irony. The atheist isn't even really consistent to his atheism.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk about the atheism that is really dominating the box office now. $76 million went to The Golden Compass this last weekend. The first blatantly atheistic film is number one in the nation today. Atheism, hardly around in 1600s England, in 1800s America, or in 1985. Denver, Colorado, atheism was not nearly as popular as it is in 2007. Will atheism be successful in destroying the Christian faith once and for all? Atheism on the rise, atheism in the movie theater. That next on Generations. Stay with me. Back on Generations, friends. Today, The Golden Compass, the box office hit for the last weekend, taking in $76 million. It was a $200 million production, and it is already recouping a lot of those costs. And a lot of people are watching this movie, despite the fact that a lot of the movie reviewers did not like the film. They obviously have a cadre of those who actually did like the film. But, Dave, you know, the stakes are pretty high on issues like this that Philip Pullman brings out in his Dark Materials trilogy. The stakes are really high, Dave, when you're saying that demons are good, witches are good, the church is a mind-controlling murderous evil. Either the serpent is evil or he's good. Either man fell or man did not fall. And Dave, I think to miss this call is to throw yourself into the worst chasm of evil you could ever imagine. And think about the stakes on something like this. Think about the stakes of getting your metaphysic wrong. Either Pullman is very, very, very right, and that is, hey, we're just dust, and God doesn't exist, and man really didn't fall, and the whole garden thing was a setup, et cetera, et cetera. Or he's very, very, very wrong, and what if he's wrong? What if he's wrong? You hate to be Pullman. If he was wrong.
If only we had a golden compass to tell us what was true.
Yeah, you mean the thing that just spins?
Yeah, that spins and yeah. Lands just, on just some sort of cryptic
randomly,
character. And
just kind of randomly land somewhere, yeah. Yeah.
If only we had some absolute truth that we could appeal to.
Yeah, I know. It is amazing to me, Dave, that he's sort of like a guy who stands, a little boy that stands on his father's lap and slaps his father's face. In other words, he's assuming God, and you have to assume God to deny God. Isn't that funny? It's always the way it works. He knows that God exists. He understands the power of God. He's just standing in the lap of God and slapping his face.
I think Pullman is just the artistic reflection of the current age of aggressive, obnoxious atheists. I put him right in the same boat as Christopher Hitchens or Dawkins, who talks about the God delusion. Why are they writing so many books about God if it doesn't even exist?
Well, and anytime they bring up the issue of delusion, and he brings up the issue of lying. By the way, the heroine in this film is proud of her ability to lie with barefaced conviction. That's, you know, the main thing. That's her thing that she thinks she's really gifted with. And I think it's ironic here that it's sort of a testimony of the author's highest value, the ability to lie, you know. And you know, he's kind of working that himself a little bit here.
It reminds me of a former head of state that we had here who one of his own cabinet members said he has a very unusual ability to lie, as if that were virtue.
Yeah, and that's the way he presents lying in this film as well. Although he does acknowledge that there is a room for some kind of a Christian morality, obviously lying is not part of that. Nevertheless, Dave, I think you brought up this point earlier, and that is that this is really blatant in-your-face atheism. You know, when you are killing God, okay, that's pretty in-your-face atheism, you know. This is not the cloaked thing. This is not the serpent thing. There's nothing deceitful about this. This is pretty much, I am evil, I'm destroying God, and I'm telling everybody I'm doing this. You know what? I mean, in some sense, I'm not sure this movie is as dangerous as it would be to send your child to a public school, for example.
Oh, no. No, public school is far more dangerous.
But why? But why?
Well, let's go back to the garden, and what did we know about the serpent? Well, we knew the serpent was more subtle than all the other creatures. Now, if the serpent had said to Eve, God is not really God, I am God, she would have laughed, and Adam, and they would not have been tempted. But he was subtle, and that subtlety was that you can be as God. You can decide right and wrong for yourself. In public schools, they teach you humanism, your God. You get to decide what's right and what's wrong.
Values clarification.
Values clarification, a warped view of science where things like the Cartesian method are used not to really give clarity but to give liberty.
Dave, you don't have a public school teacher standing up and saying, there is no God, we have just killed God, we've kicked him out of this school, and we're going to teach that there is no God for the next 100 years in this classroom. I've never heard a public school classroom present the material in that way, but they will present science in a way that they describe these things as purely natural processes, and they won't allow God into the metaphysic. God doesn't ordain every sparrow that falls. God isn't there. He's not in providential sovereign control of everything that happens in this world. Moreover, Dave, they will not present a science such that God is the creative genius behind this world. In other words, they conveniently ignore him. They don't say he doesn't exist and we just put a gun to the head of God and pull the trigger. They don't say that like Philip Pullman likes to do because he seems to be very angry with God and it's really out there in front. But in the case of the public schools, they just ignore him. And, Dave, I think ignoring God and not, you know, at the end of the science class, getting down and saying, children, let's get down on our knees and worship the God who created this magnificent universe with all its complexity and beauty. You know, you just don't hear that because you don't get the science teachers glorifying God and worshiping him in the university science classrooms. I think you've got a much more insidious approach to replacing a supernatural worldview with this purely materialistic, naturalistic worldview.
I think what happens in the public school is instead of giving you a golden compass to tell you what's true, they tell you to look to your own mind, to your own thoughts to decide what's true. That's far more appealing than something outside of us. So the serpent is still saying, in the public school today, you can be as God, not only knowing good and evil, but deciding what is good and evil. You get to decide the ethics. You get to decide whether Pullman's right or wrong. Well, science, when it was codified by Francis Bacon and given some method, always gave God glory. Now, it has been twisted such that it is now a method where God doesn't exist in a purely naturalistic world. So I think that the messages that you get in the education system of public schools, especially given the hours of the day and the years that you're in there, far, far more dangerous. So if you're afraid of sending your child to go see the Golden Compass because you're afraid it's going to destroy their worldview, but you're sending them to public school, it's too late.
Christians are up in arms against this movie, The Golden Compass, that raked in $76 million this last weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, the movie has some problems. Yeah, I mean, it's in-your-face atheism. They want to kill God. And the guy hates the church too, Dave. I think it's ironic that this guy hates a church of which his father and grandfather has been a part, and probably for generations behind him. The church, he says, tries to suppress and control every natural impulse. And think about that, Dave. Suppress and control every natural impulse, like lying, for example, would come to mind, you know, or maybe incest or murder, you know. Yeah, I think the church has tried to suppress some of that.
It sounds to me like Mr. Pullman is a sexual pervert and the church got in the way.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. And here's the next question comes to my mind, Dave. I mean, he's so concerned about the church controlling the mind the church controlling the mind? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity has not been taught in the public schools for generations.
But we do have that mind control ray gun.
You know what? You know who's got the mind control going? Are the humanists. Hey, humanistic materialism is completely dominating the universities today in the K-12 schools. People are ashamed to speak of God in public schools as if he were everywhere, as if he was involved in our lives. The religion that dominates today and is opposed by billions upon billions of dollars of state monies in education museums is not Christianity, it's evolutionary humanism. Ladies and gentlemen, you want mind control? It's not the little Baptist church down the block imposing ideas by state dollars into people's brains. It's the $200 billion education system that's brought on us by the humanists and the socialists that's imposing ideas on people from the top down. It's just silliness to think that these little Baptist churches are dangerous because they're imposing these ideas by legislative fiat into the brains of people.
Well, let's just consider these two institutions, the church and the public school, for just a moment. The church gets its finances by voluntary contributions by those who want to be there.
Yeah.
The public schools effectively make every landowner a renter by capturing or taking from them property taxes. And if you don't pay it, you get evicted off your land. No matter how much you paid, you still get evicted off your land. So they collect their monthly rent in terms of property taxes in order to pay for an education system that opposes the church. Which sounds like a tyrant to you? The one that will take your money if you don't give it to them, or the one that voluntarily takes it? Just financially speaking, where's the control?
Who's the tyrannical socialist pig in this picture? A little Baptist church is barely trying to make it on the donations of a few poor folks who are trying to keep things going and trying to actually get the truth preached and receive the truth and walk in the truth, rather than the atheistic humanistic system that actually corrupts education and destroys the minds of millions of people across this world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that this guy Pullman's got everything upside down. By the way, Dave, in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, I was out in Chicago, grabbed the Tribune this last weekend, and Pullman, in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, admitted that he retains a basically Christian morality because he's the product of a Christian age. And this is a point that I think we need to drive home. Here's a quote. "I can't get rid of God. I don't believe in him, but he won't leave me alone." That sounds like John Paul Sartre. He said, "You know, I got sick of God being there, watching me all the time, so I kicked him out of my house," and then developed existentialist philosophy, which has, again, corrupted, pretty much destroyed civilization and the family the last 50 to 60 years.
Boy, that sounds an awful lot like the Apostle Paul talking about people who suppress the knowledge of God. So they have to actively work hard at denying the God who's there.
Denying truth is hard. Imagine trying to get darkness to overcome light. I mean, you've got all that light, all that truth. Boy, you better hire a pretty expensive propaganda campaign to sell the fact the emperor actually has clothes when he really doesn't have any clothes. And that, of course, is what people like Pullman try to do with the public school systems and et cetera. Here's another quote from him from the Chicago Tribune again. "I'm still an atheist who has a great deal of the Christian in him. I have the heritage of my grandfather's church with the King James Bible and the Book of Common Prayer and all that stuff." Dave, he is up against the faith of 800 years. He's up against the faith of Patrick and Columcille and the Venerable Bede. I mean, these are strong men of faith who overcame the superstition and the atheism and the polytheism and the cannibalism and the incest and the sexual perversion and all those things that had consumed these pagan islands back in the early part of the first millennium. And Dave, this guy can't overcome that tremendous Christian heritage. Dave, it boggles my mind that the influence of faith 800 years ago still has an impact on the lives of people 800 years later. And Dave, here's the other thing. You know, the humanists have had an 800-year run through the Enlightenment and the Renaissance and the Enlightenment. They have 800 years. And by the way, he acknowledges that the Enlightenment has won the victory. He thinks it has. But again, it's amazing. Despite the fact they have had tremendous conquest over Christianity in Europe and America over 800 years, they still haven't fully overcome it. It's amazing how the faith sticks over all these centuries.
Humanism could only survive on the capital of Christianity. It doesn't create its own capital itself. It only uses it up. Pullman's vision for society will be a vision that will destroy society, where people can lie, where there isn't absolute truth, where ethics are completely random. What are you going to have? Total anarchy. You're going to have destruction of the family. And to the extent that the family's being destroyed, I think he's right. Humanism's winning.
But here's the thing. I would have thought that humanism would have won, would have utterly destroyed the influence of Christianity, because for 800 years they have engaged in steady conquest. I mean, they have control of just about every institution in America and in Europe. Now, and yet, you have one of the most self-conscious atheists in all of England who says, I can't get out from under the faith of my grandfather. Does that show you the influence of faith? Does that encourage you, Dave, with your faith today? Your faith today may influence generations 800 years from now, and even though they may be trying to deny that faith, they still can't get out from under it completely.
No, they can't, and what we do today will have echoes, you know, in the future for our children and our children's children. We don't live and then just die and get annihilated. That's their worldview. Our worldview is one where we pass on a legacy and a heritage to our children. It's also one where the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to bang up against the church, and they certainly have. They've tried the sword, they've tried everything else, and yet they don't prevail. In fact, it's sort of like a Chinese finger capture device. The harder you pull, the less success you have getting away. The harder the atheists try and deny God, the harder they persecute the church, the faster the church grows. It's got to be very frustrating to be in league with the devil.
We started this segment asking the question, will atheism overcome? They have just captured the box office hit for the last weekend. $76 million raked in by this movie, The Golden Compass. And we're here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Philip Pullman, The Golden Compass, and every other atheist on planet Earth will not be able to overcome the influence of the light that Jesus Christ brought to this globe. The light of redemption, the light of his law, the light of his salvation, and the light of his sanctifying spirit, that has overcome the hearts of millions across this world and will continue to do so as the years go by. And Dave, you know what? I don't think the atheists are going to be able to overcome the influence of Christianity. Think about what Narnia has done, the Narnian movies. And, of course, Pullman absolutely positively hates C.S. Lewis. But, you know, sorry, but your story's not as good as his. You know, if you remember what the reviewers said about Narnia, they absolutely loved it. And it's a great story, lots of warmth. Of course, the Narnian movie raked in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, became one of the number one box office hits of all time. And I really think, Dave, in the end, atheism will lose out. But it will depend on whether or not God's people stand up, be counted, and stop compromising and synthesizing with the humanism of the day. And may God help parents out there give their children a biblical worldview, give them an education rooted in the fear of God, and hopefully raise up in future generations young men and young women that will glorify God in the making of the very best movies that includes God in the metaphysic. And I think that is the point we want to make with this program. Let's be self-conscious Christians, and let's know our worldview and act upon it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me personally at host@kevinswanson.com. And be sure to visit our website. It's a brand new website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. Visit our website and check out the new website and check out my blog also. You can also tune into this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.